And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord God, I love you so much and I praise you. You're so worthy of our praises, Lord God. Father, I'm very grateful for the body you've given me here at Ocean Park Church, and I thank you for our pastor. Lord, I pray now that as he comes to deliver your truth to us, Lord God, by your Spirit, the words will come and we will receive, Lord God, in our hearts and our minds and our souls and our bodies, Lord Jesus, to express the glory of who you are to this generation. I love you and I praise you and I worship you in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Somebody asked me yesterday, was it strange not preparing in Isaiah this week? And it most definitely is. It's a change of pace. We're going to be starting this Sermon on the Mount come November. And just wanted to, before we get there, and as I'm reading and preparing for that, I wanted to reflect back on the book of Mark. There are four disciples that are Jesus pushed forward as an example in the book of Mark of to all of Jesus' disciples of genuine faith, and as we look at. So this week we're looking at Mark chapter 1. But I am thankful for the opportunity that we have. In 1865, out of a fear of a contagious disease, Hawaiian King King K the Fifth, let's just leave it at that. Apologized, and the Hawaiian legislature passed the act to preserve the spread of leprosy. This law required a forced quarantine of all Hawaiian lepers on all the islands into a remote colony in Kalupapa Peninsula. You can see early 1900s this photo. Significance of this area is that it is surrounded by 2,000-foot cliffs on one side, and one of the most treacherous places in the ocean that in very limited times can be accessed by sea. The colony was isolated from the rest of the world. And that was the worst part about it. It wasn't just the disease that was the problem. The worst part was the isolation. Residents of the colony were outcast from a society that sent them to live out their days as outcasts. This is the picture of Olivia Braitha as she was processed, if you will, into the leper colony. It almost looks like a mugshot. She said this, "They tore us away from our families and our homes. And they segregated us here and treated us like untouchables. They only use that other word because leper now makes them feel uncomfortable." People feared being sent to Kalapapa, and any sign of leprosy would cause them to go into hiding. There was even bounties that were put on the people that if you could turn in a leper, you would earn money. Braitha described her thoughts when she was ripped away from her family at the age of 16. "Oh my God, I'm going there to die without my family and without anybody." The memory of the residents of Kalupapa reminds us this morning of the ugliness and the isolation of sin. But as we'll see in Mark chapter 1, it also shows us the beauty of God's grace on sinners who repent and believe. My big idea today is this: only the touch of grace can restore what sin has destroyed. Only the touch of grace can restore what sin has destroyed. Now, because it's a narrative, I'm mixing it up. I'm not going to give you my 3 points up front. I'm going to tell the story, and then I'll have my 3 application points. Because I know all of you are like, what are the points? What are the points? Let me get them down. But just the big idea now. A little bit of context. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus is declaring the arrival of the kingdom of God. You can see back in Mark 1:15, Jesus says, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe." And Jesus, as he comes and he begins his earthly ministry, begins to find conflict. And he becomes in conflict with Satan, with the sicknesses of this world, even the scribes, the religious leaders. But now he comes in contact here in Mark chapter 1 with social stigma, the social stigma of leprosy. Notice Mark 40 in the beginning, and it simply says, "A leper came to Jesus." Now, to us, as we're doing our Bible reading, sometimes we probably would gloss that over. To a first century reader, these words are offensive and they're provocative. These 6 words really incited this in the hearts of the readers. Why? Because leprosy was feared. And leprosy carried the negative stigma for all who suffered under its reproach. Leprosy, at the time, biblical scholars are able to tell us that was widespread in the area of Palestine. However, when we think of leprosy, we usually think of Hansen's disease, the bacteria that eventually slowly erodes your appendages and the nerve endings where you can't feel things. That's not what hurts you. It's not knowing that you can't. Pain is a gift. And when you burn your hand in the fire or cut it and you don't even realize that's wrong, that's where you slowly become marred and disfigured because of this contagious bacteria is deadening the nerves and the eye and the skin. But here in Mark, leprosy was not just Hansen's disease, but it was a wide variety of skin ailments. Patches of dry skin devoid of feeling, dermatosis, psoriasis, burns, boils, ringworm, and, gentlemen, suspicious baldness. All of this would have been brought together. If the lepers could stand over here. And why? But the significance of leprosy was not just a medical thing, but it was a religious one. You see, Yahweh, the God of Scripture, is the God who is holy, or you could say pure. And like the sun in our solar system is pure power, the presence of God's pure and powerful goodness, if mortal beings such as you and I just come into close proximity to the powerful goodness of God's presence, like a spacecraft that gets too close to the sun, we would be destroyed by the corruption of sin. But the grace of God, we can read in the Scriptures, makes a way for corruptible mortals to come into the presence of a holy God by what we know as ritual cleanliness or ritual purity laws. It was entailed everything from rituals to priests to laws. By following God's pattern, a person could enter in and be considered clean or be in a pure state. That's why when we read through Leviticus, there's so many laws of washing and clothes and all kinds of things for the various bodily excretions that we have. And by people would be ritually pure and they would be separated. They would separate themselves from anything that related to death. bodily fluids, dead bodies, diseased skin. And this is why leprosy was so significant in the ancient world, and especially in Scripture. Leprous skin rendered a person into an unclean state. And this is according to the Old Testament law. And it forbade them from entering the temple or even taking part of social or religious gatherings. And you can figure this out. And if any leper were to touch anybody, they would render that person unclean for a period of time to see if their calamity would have passed over. And so the society was very clear, and the social treatment was severe. Lepers were cut off. They were cut off from their family. They were cut off from their religion. And they were cut off from their society. They were isolated and ostracized in fear that that disfiguring disease that that leper had would spread and render other people unclean, and other people would be isolated and removed from society. We see this a little bit in the narrative of the Old Testament in Leviticus chapter 13. Simply put, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes. So they don't wear clean, fancy clothes. You could see in a distance, oh, Phil is wearing torn clothes, so Phil looks different. There's a problem. And then let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. So by doing that, you would know not only by sight, but by sound, that this person is unclean. They are in an unclean state, and they can't come into the presence of God in worship and religion. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. But also, there were processes for that person to come out of that unclean state. They would go to the temple, and the priest would follow the law and say, oh, you no longer are in an unclean state, and they would be brought and restored back to society. But you can see how this would easily, leprosy would rob you not only of your health, but that stigma that was imposed on them, rob them of their name, their occupation, their habits, their family, their fellowship, and their worshiping committee or community. Leprosy was not just a dermatological plight, but in reality, it was considered a curse of death. Look at this passage here. In the Old Testament, when Miriam had rebelled and Aaron rebelled, and it says this against God's leader, Moses. When the cloud removed from over the tent, behold, Miriam in an instant was leprous like snow. And Aaron turned around towards Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said to Moses, oh, my Lord, do not punish us because we have done foolishly and have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, whose flesh is half eaten away when it comes out of their mother's womb. You can see this overwhelming burden in the sense of worthlessness and the despair of living a life of humiliation, isolation, and degradation that a leper would have. And so when we hear in this text, a leper came to Jesus, the leper is bearing the weight of isolation and the social stigma that comes with leprosy. Until the day this leopard heard the name of Jesus. Word of Jesus, you know, all his miracles spread throughout Capernaum like wildfire throughout the green hills of Galilee. They were the accounts that were almost too good to be true. Demons being cast out and fevers being rebuked and diseases were being healed. And I can only imagine this leper that going through his mind when he's in isolation and has so much time. If Jesus has the power to do this, to all these things, he could surely release me from the prison of my skin by making me clean. And therefore, the leper arose and he came to Jesus. Then it continues in verse 40. A leper came to Jesus, imploring him. Kneeling, said to him. So you can see already in the urgency of his speech, in the how he is presenting himself to Jesus, he said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." The leper refused to be kept at a safe distance, but he broke through every barricade that kept him away from Jesus because he knew that Jesus had the power to make him clean. The question now, does Jesus have the desire to make him clean? So with reckless abandon, this leper forces his way through the crowds that ostracize him, throws himself at the mercy of Jesus, his only hope to get rid of the disgrace. In desperation, he cries out, "If you want to, you can make me clean." Look at verse 41. Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand, and what did he do? He touched him. And he said to him, "I will," or "I do, be clean." Jesus looks at this broken man and his heart has compassion of him. Jesus is cognizant of the physical, emotional, and spiritual anguish that this man has been living in. He recognizes the life that is ravaged and disfigured by the merciless power of sin and death. Jesus sees an image bearer of God who's been maimed and mangled by sin, and it said his heart was moved for him. If any of you might have an NIV, you'll notice that rather than moved with pity, it says Jesus was indignant. Now, without getting lost in the weeds of textual criticism, there's two possible renderings of the text in the manuscripts of the Bible. And I do believe that probably the best rendering is the NIV in this situation. Jesus either responds with compassion or what we feel like anger. Like, what's going on? Don't those seem contradictory? No, I don't believe they are. Jesus passionately loves his people, like a parent who loves their child and hates anything that threatens their welfare. Jesus loves his people and hates how sin has scarred and maimed his beautiful creation that Genesis 1, 26 and 27 says it was very good. His righteous indignation moves him to decisive action. Notice how this word is also used by John in John chapter 11, another place where we've talked about this fact. When Jesus saw her, Mary, weeping, and the Jews also who had come all weeping, why are they weeping? Lazarus, who Jesus loved, had died. And all of them are weeping over this death of Lazarus, whom Jesus loved. And he sees Mary and Martha, whom Jesus loved. And they're weeping over their brother. And he was deeply moved in spirit and greatly troubled. And he says, he doesn't comfort them, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And then notice Jesus' response. Jesus wept. And Jesus, again, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and the stone lone it. And when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus did. Jesus does not sit back idly, wringing his hands like a feeble old man when he sees what sin has stolen and killed and destroyed. Rather, the heart of God is deeply moved with righteous indignation, and he moves with decisive action to restore and redeem his creation. He casts out demons. He heals diseases. He silences false teachers. And in the end of 41, he stretched out his hand and he touched a leper. And this is the very thing that would make the leper's action of coming to Jesus so scandalous. Because anybody who touches a leper, remember, they become ritually unclean and they cannot stay within the assembly of the people. And Jesus, rather than turning away from the leper like, don't touch me, Jesus what? Turns to the leper. Jesus willingly touched him. He didn't brush up against him and like, oh, get me the Purell or something like this. He willingly saw the leper because it would have been abundantly clear because of either disfiguration or the whatever his ailment was, it was abundant he was unclean. Even his dress. Jesus brings himself in full contact with physical and ritual untouchability. And this is tremendous. This is scandalous. This is unthinkable that we as 21st century readers, we don't even get. Jesus deliberately was what we perceived as becoming himself ceremonially unclean that the leper might become clean. But instead of being tainted by the leper, when Jesus touches the leper, what happens? He makes the leper clean. It doesn't follow. When you and I, if we live in that time, we would become unclean. But because the holiness and the purity and the goodness and the righteousness of Jesus, whom Jesus touches, becomes clean. Notice the end of 41. And Jesus said to the leper, I do, or I will be clean. It was not the seemingly recklessness of the leper. It was the compassion of Jesus pronouncing the leper clean. We're again reminded of the authority of Jesus. When the voice of Jesus speaks, fishermen leave their nets. Fevers are rebuked, demons flee, diseases are healed, and all of creation comes into existence by the voice of Jesus. Verse 42, and immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made what? Clean. When Jesus speaks, lepers are cleansed. When the voice of Jesus declares the leper is clean, he was clean. The harsh cruelty of leprosy that excluded him as a social outcast was immediately extinguished like a candle in the wind. The wall of leprosy that kept him separate from the temple, from his family, from his work, from even the touch of another human being was immediately destroyed. The name and the family and the fellowship and worshiping of community that leprosy had plundered from him was immediately restored plus some. How? All by the power of Jesus' declaration. Some of you are big Gaither vocal fans. There's a song that they sing. It's called He Touched Me. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me. Now I am no longer the same. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, He touched me. Oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened and I know Him. He touched me and made me whole. Brothers and sisters, the grace of our Lord restored to the man what the sin had taken, what leprosy had destroyed. But this is not the end. It wasn't just healing that Jesus came. There's continued verse 43 and 44. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, But go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. Throughout the Old Testament, God is regarded as the source and the controller and the healer of disease, all disease. The boils of the Egyptians, the leprosy of Naaman, the rebellion at Korah. Furthermore, it is widespread believed that leprosy, as the result of a hidden sin, a sin that only the mercy of God could see and forgive and heal. Therefore, the priests were not performing a healing, but they were confirming what God had already done. They were confirming the power of Jesus to make the leper clean. They were confirming a powerful new work of God was unfolding in their midst. They were confirming Jesus possesses the authority that only God possessed to make a person clean. Jesus sent the leper to the priests as a proof to them. If the priest confirmed the former leper was freed from leprosy and ritually clean, they must recognize the significance of the person whose power accomplished it. And if they refuse the person and power of Jesus Christ, the very evidence that they authenticated would stand as a witness against them. The touch of Jesus' amazing grace set the man free from the domination of sin. Then it continues, but he went home and began to freely talk about it and spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in the desolate places. That's significant. Let me give me a second. And people were coming to Jesus, to him, from every quarter. See, instead of strictly following the word of Jesus, the man freely spreads the incredible news about what Jesus has done for him. Andy said, when we think about the justification that we have by faith, it should overflow us with joy. And we want to tell everybody. This guy was like, I can't keep this in. I'm clean. And look what Jesus did. Oh! And it overflowed from him. And we'll cut the guy a break. Everywhere he went now, this man was no longer crying out in anguish, unclean, unclean. But now he was crying out with incredible joy. I'm clean. I'm clean. Look at me. Do you remember me? He must have told a lot of people. Home Slice got around and proclaimed it. Because the news of the cleansing touch of Jesus caused a groundswell of people to come to Jesus. If he could do that for that guy, he can do that for me. Oh, that our evangelism would be the same. Oh, that we would say, oh, the peace that we have with God in Christ and the joy that we have in following him and the life that we have, we have to tell. And people are like, I don't know what he has, but that's what I want. Tell me more about that. See, the work of Jesus testified to the incredible nature of Jesus. So much so that Jesus couldn't go into any towns anymore. The fear of being crushed by those trying to be healed. And this is in what's happening is a great reversal that can be easily lost as we think through the miracle. But what happened is Jesus has taken the place of the leper. I'm going to say it again. Jesus has taken the place of the leper. Where's Jesus? He's in the outskirts, outside the city. He can't go in. Where's the leper? Home Slice is running around the city. He's got nice, new, clean clothes, shouting about what Jesus has done, so much so that they're coming out. At the beginning of the narrative, the leper was marginalized and ostracized and relegated to the outsides of the city gates until Jesus touched him. At the end of the narrative, it's Jesus who can no longer enter the city, but must stay in the desolate places outside the city. Why? Because he touched the leper and cleansed the leper. But it didn't just go away. The sin of the leper, not in the skin disease, but the heart of the leper, that his sinful rebellion against God was now transferred to Jesus. And it foreshadows a time on a hill outside the city, on a hill called Golgotha, where Jesus, alone in isolation, took the weight of his people on his shoulders outside the city as a common outcast criminal, bearing the weight of the sin of all who come to Jesus and put their trust in him. See, this story is not just the story of a miracle. It's a foreshadowing of a greater spiritual significance than Jesus just taking care of, let's work on social stigma or disease. This is the story of the leper, is the story of you and me. Because only the grace, only the touch of grace, the only touch of God's grace can restore what sin has destroyed. Here's my points. All you've been waiting for. Application. Sin has rendered us all spiritual lepers. See, we have a fundamental problem in the heart of man. We are infected with the spiritual leprosy of sin, yet it doesn't always fester on the surface of our skin, but it's deep in the recesses of our hearts. I don't have the catechism question here. I forgot to put it up here. But it's question 16 from the New City Catechism. What is sin? And here's the answer. Sin is rejecting and ignoring God in the world he's created. It's rebelling against him by living without reference to him, not being or doing what he requires in his law, resulting in our death and the disintegration of all of creation. We are not as bad as we possibly can be, nor are we devoid of any goodness. The problem is that we are not what we have been designed to be. Mirrors to reflect the beauty and the goodness and the truth of our Creator. Instead of living for God's glory, we are living for our glory. There's a children's book that I read that I love the definition of sin. Sin is not wanting God in control and wanting our own control and doing what sees fit to us. Scripture tells us this: all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the free gift is eternal life, wholeness, restoration, peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The problem with sin is that we're far too often unconscious of our sin and the pervasiveness of our sinful condition. We're oblivious to the spiritual leprosy that is destroying us from within. And that's the danger of leprosy. It deadens the pain. And we can't feel it. And we go about our merry way, ignoring God and the world he's created, dead to our problem, and it's slowly destroying us. The gangrene of death is destroying us. Isaiah 59 that Tom read for us this morning. But our iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face so that he does not hear you. Ocean Park, do you feel your spiritual leprosy? Can you say unclean, unclean, and really mean it? Do you know your hopelessness and helplessness before the power and purity of God's perfect goodness and holiness? Do you hide your sin-stained face in shame before the glory of a holy God? The news of Christ's diagnosis can be offensive. Right now, some of you might be offended that I would say such things. Some of you refuse to believe that you really have a problem and you scoff at Jesus' diagnosis of your sinful condition. Some of you know the seriousness of your spiritual leprosy, but you despair because you don't think there's an answer to it. Even the promises of Christ feel too good to be true. To each of you, I say this: trust the diagnosis and the remedy of the great physician. We'll see in a few weeks. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. There is hope for you who know the weakness of your sin and the inability to cleanse and purify yourself. That answer is the gracious touch of Jesus. One, sin has rendered us spiritual lepers. Two, go to Jesus. Go to Jesus to be made clean. The leper in Mark came to Jesus because he knew Jesus had the power to heal, but did not know if Jesus was willing. I want you to know, beyond a shadow of doubt, I'm going to give you a few verses, but I want you to open up, read through the Gospels. I want you to know this morning that the heart of Jesus longs to heal all who come to them, knowing the infectious disease of the spiritual leprosy of sin. 2 Peter says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. 1 Timothy 2:3, this is good and pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. I don't have it behind me, but John chapter 11, all whosoever comes shall not be tossed out. Jesus calls you. Jesus hates sin. And He hates it, how it has marred God's good creation. He hates the pain and destruction and disintegration that spiritual leprosy has inflicted on His people. I want you to hear this, though. There's no length of the compassion of our Lord will go to redeem His creation. There's no depth of the righteous indignation of Christ that will go to not destroy sin. There's no height that the love of Christ will not go to restore His people. Later on in the book of Mark, it says this, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, though He had every right, as Lord of all creation, for whom and through whom all things were created. But He came to serve. And how did He serve? Not just cleansing and teaching and loving, but most importantly, objective number one, to give His life as a ransom for many, to take the spiritual leprosy upon Himself and to make His people whole and clean. Ocean Park does not say, if you will cleanse me, do not say, if you will cleanse me. You cry out with confidence, since you are willing, I will be clean, Lord. Wash me now. We're going to sing here in a moment. Come, you sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. Come, you needy, come and welcome God's free bounty glorified. True belief and true repentance. Every grace that brings us now. Ocean Park, rise up and go to Jesus. He will embrace you in His arms and make you clean and bring you peace with God. And then, I think it was Lori in Sunday school who said, we need to proclaim, we need to go and tell of the good news of this justification that we have, this peace with God we have through Jesus. Proclaim the remedy of the cross. On the hill outside of the city of Jerusalem nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus hung on the cross and died, naked and humiliated, stripped of every bit of honor, decency, and dignity. He was a man of sorrow, smitten, stricken, and afflicted with spiritual leprosy of all who put their faith in Him. As Paul says, for our sake He made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus took the curse of our sin so we could have the honor of His glory. Jesus took the shame of sin's isolation so we could enjoy the fellowship at God's table. Jesus took the death and decay of sin on His body to ensure that our bodies will be transformed into incorruptible bodies at the resurrection. Ocean Park, if this is true, and it is, then we must glory in the gracious touch of the great physician who looked upon hopeless and helpless people, spiritual lepers, and said, I will be clean. Rise up in the cross that made you clean. And let the healing of Jesus' touch be known by others so they can be delivered from the hopelessness and the helplessness of their sin. In Kuala Papa, Hawaii, the leper colony endured for more than 100 years. It wasn't until the 1960s that effective treatment for leprosy was introduced that would cure the disease if the patient took the treatment. Olivia Braitha, who I showed her processing picture earlier, was one of the colony's most well-known residents. She died, I think, in 2006. And when new patients would come to the clinics around Hawaii diagnosed with leprosy, there was a letter that they were given from Olivia. It says, "Dear new patients, by all means, do not be frightened. Be scared enough to seek help because there is help. There is medication that does work, and the sooner you get to a doctor and tell him you suspect, the sooner you'll be treated. Don't waste time. For you, it will be good. You will be, excuse me, you will not be put away like I was. I beg you, get treatment. If you don't, you lose. Waiting around for it to go away would be very stupid. Leprosy and what it does to your body will not run away. You must chase it away with treatment that is free for the taking. I tell you again, don't run away from it. Take care of your future. You can have it, and if you are a patient and you are given the medication, don't leave it in your medicine cabinet after taking it for a couple months. Keep taking it. Good luck. Olivia Braitha, Ocean Park." We have a fundamental problem of spiritual leprosy that separates us from a holy God. But there is a treatment. It's called the blood of Jesus. And we run to it. We don't, when we hear about our problem, we run to it because we are spiritual lepers, diagnosed by the Word of God and affirmed by our own experience. But there is medication. But we must go to Jesus. As the song we're about to say says, He will embrace us in His arms. And then each day as we find fellowship with Jesus who has made us whole, proclaim the remedy of the cross to all other spiritual lepers that they may come and be made whole and be made clean and have a place of fellowship at the table with our God. And all eternity we will proclaim that only the grace of Jesus can restore what sin has destroyed. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to You. We are spiritual lepers who have been made clean, been made whole, restored to the fellowship of Your people, but most of all, to peace with God. And we await for that day when the remains and the scars and disfigurement of sins in this world will be wiped away. And death and pain and tears will be no more. And God will dwell with His people. And we will feast in the house of Zion with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for all eternity. And all who have put their faith in the provision of Christ's Savior, His Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, who took the full effects, the full price on the cross on Himself. And He gives us His life to make us whole, that we may feast. I pray that those who don't know Jesus today for the first time would arise and go to Jesus. And that each one of us each day would arise and go to Jesus. That He would lead us and guide us into that holy city. In Christ's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.